But I want to give you this. This has some prophecy in its primary and reference and interpretation. But I want to give you this because I think it'll help you tonight. And it sure helped me already. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. Ezekiel 37. If you're there, say amen. I love this. I love this passage. It says, the hand of the Lord was up on me. You know, if, by the way, we can't do much at all unless we have the hand of God on us. I'm 72. I want his hand on me stronger than it's ever been before. I've been praying, fasting, seeking God. I want his power on me, Chad. And Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. That's a good thing, too, to be in the spirit of the Lord. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Wow. And by the way, I'm preaching. This is a part of a series, The Great Questions in the Bible. This is another sermon in that series. And caused me to pass by them about. And behold, they were very many in that, in the open valley. And lo, listen to this carefully. They were very dry. And here's the question that I'm preaching tonight, though it won't be my title. I'm preaching on revival tonight in the boneyard. But listen, and he said unto me, son of man, here's the question, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, listen to this. This is awesome. I can't wait to get to preaching this part of it. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Is that amazing, you, Chad? Take it into the valley, give it a vision, and told him to preach to them dry bones. Am I preaching? Let's go on. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in to you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Not only did he tell them to preach the bones, look what else he said to do. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. By the way, preaching will cause a shake. This stuff going around most churches, it wouldn't shake nothing. It wouldn't shake a noodle. Wouldn't shake jello. Oh, I feel like preaching tonight. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Well, it's getting exciting, isn't it? And when I beheld, lo, sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, not only do you preach, hey Chad, preach to the bones, prophesy unto the wind, or preach to the wind. I'm going somewhere, I'm starting to feel it. Son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones, and he tells us what the bones are, the primary interpretation. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We were cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O people, and brought you up out of the graves, and shall put my spirit in you. Woo! And ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. If we're going to ever have a revival, it ain't going to be John Smith performing it. Scott Pulley ain't going to bring it. I don't believe that forever. He's one of the greatest preachers in America. I love to hear him preach. I listen to his podcast. But I want you to know, he ain't going to do it. They only one can bring real revival, and that's God. Amen. Now let's look at this, and I got a 3-point outline. This is the easiest thing to remember. If you don't remember this outline, I'm coming after you. I'm going to preach on. What am I preaching on? The bone, the breath, and the blessing. Man, I got chills coming down my back at that. Lord Jesus. This vision of dry bones is familiar. How many, she probably read through it and heard preachers preach on it. In this chapter, this is one of the concluding chapters. When we get to verse chapter 40 through 50, that talks about the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom. In this section, Ezekiel will be given Judah's future. See, this book of Ezekiel is a book of judgment. By the way, God is a God of judgment. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that particular part of the Word of God in the gospel today, but God, my God's a God of judgment. He judged Noah's day. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, he's going to judge America. But even though this book is a book of judgment, this chapter is talking about the judgment that's on Israel, it's also a book of hope. See, the children of Israel lost hope. They were in despair and distress and pessimism, about like America is today. Yet God gave this vision of hope and the future. I want you to know if you're born again, there is hope in the future. I don't know what's on tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Now, if you study early chapters, Chad, I'm going to give you this is so good. In chapters 9 through 11, Chad, I don't know how much you read that, but I'll tell you what that is. That is, it tells about when God left the mercy seat. His glory left the mercy seat. He went out the gate through the Kidron Valley, and God went, the Bible said in those chapters, went up past Mount Olives and departed. And his glory, at this time I'm preaching, to Israel was gone. But can I give you some good news? That same God that left the mercy seat and went through that gate out of the Mount of Olives and disappeared One day he's coming back in the form of his son, and his feet's going to land on Mount Olives. He'll go through and rip up that Muslim graveyard and go through the eastern gate and sit on the throne of David. Whoo! So, I'm bogging down. The primary reference of this passage, would you agree, is the children of Israel. But there's a practical reference to the church, to the family, and to our personal life. Are y'all with me? And I want to show you three things. And I told you what they are. Verses 1 through 3. Let's talk about the bones first. Interesting. He was given a vision of the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel was shown this valley. Now, there's a lot of, I know it was a vision. I don't know if he took him to a literal valley. I kind of think he did. An ancient battlefield. I'm not sure. But all I can tell you is in this valley, Chad, it was the whole valley was strewn out with bones. Bones everywhere. And I want you to know another thing about them bones. They were dry. They were dry bones. I want you to know something. He was depicting Israel in their current state. Israel was a dry bones before 1948. Now let's look at this a little carefully. Brother Ray, I'm going to get a little deeper in this. What is a bone? What is a bone? A bone is a relic of life. A pile of bones is where life was at one time. I remember, I don't know how many of y'all remember back in 2001 in Washington, D.C., when that young girl got missing. Her name was Shonda Levy, and she disappeared. And they found her, eventually found her in Rock Creek Park there in Washington, D.C. Her body had been dumped there. The animals had eat her flesh, and her bones were distributed kind of all over the park. And really what it was saying is there's life there at one time, but now there's death. That's what Ezekiel sees. He sees a relic of life. I want y'all to hear me. If we're not careful, we'll get desensitized to the spiritual situation of our world. You look at me right now. We'll get desensitized to the dryness and wickedness of this world. Amen. I remember not too long ago, it's been in my lifetime, when they started selling alcohol on Sundays. It used to not be like that. It was in my lifetime. I remember when pornographic material started coming on network TV. God help us. May I make a little application? We know this is speaking of Israel, but I don't think it's far-fetched to tell you that a lot of our homes are dry bone homes. There ain't no love in them. No relationship between husband and wife. No discipline of children. See, the institution of the family in America are becoming like a pile of dry bones. You know what's in trouble in America? Families and homes. It's in every community. It's in the black community, the white community, the Hispanic community, every community. Their families are disintegrating. And we need real revival. And then the schools. We got some people, my daughter being one of them,
and others here that you teach in the public school, thank God for you. I'm glad there's some salt there. But you do know this. I remember when I was in high school and middle school, we had revivals in the community. Guess what they done? At lunchtime, not just a club. They brought the preacher in and had Brother Briscoe, they had an assembly.
Amen.
Not just a club that's run by children.
Right.
But they had an assembly. I remember that.
Amen.
And that preacher come in and preach. I remember him, one of them preaching in Woodrow Wilson when I was in middle school or junior high back then. I mean, he preached and let it rip. I mean, they have people repenting in a public school. There ain't no more of that. They pushed prayer out of it. And I want to be honest with you. I pray for our schools because I want to tell you what. We may not see it as much here, but if you go into the inner cities of America, the school system is a jungle. God help us. They're dry bones. Then I look at America's churches. Man, I tell you, churches have got away from the call. I want y'all all to know the call is still reaching people with the gospel. Somebody help me preach. What they become is liberal social movements. I did something this week, and I ain't going to tell you who or what. It don't matter. I looked at every church around here within a 20-mile circle of this church. I just looked on them and their website and just see what they were about. You ever done that? It'll blow your mind. I come across this one, Chad. This is an oxymoron. I still don't understand it. It said, we're contemporary conservative. Now, somebody help me. Somebody help me. Please tell me what that meant. You can't be contemporary conservative. That's an oxymoron. But here's what it was. They used contemporary Bibles. And what they try to do in their worship is, get into that contemporary, change your preaching into a more contemporary, user-friendly. And I saw Dave Briscoe, I saw that. I couldn't believe this. It was right in this area, within 20 miles. I won't tell you where. I can't remember now. I'm getting old. I'm glad I got old enough to forget. But it had a guy, he didn't have a tie on. If they preach without a tie, I ain't into arguing about that. Do what you want to. But now, it goes a little too far, Allison, when they button it all down through here, and then their chest hairs open, and they got their necklace all the way. One of them had a necklace all the way down to his navel. And that was contemporary conservative. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be, I promised myself I wouldn't get ugly tonight. But I want you to know, we need to be conservative Bible students and preach the Word of God. Because a lot of churches are becoming relics. Then secondly, let me go on, because I'm not going to have time if I don't hurry. How about not only the bones, Chad, but look at verse 4. This is so good. I'm about ready to preach myself silly. Then I want you to notice, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. And say unto them, old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then he goes on and talks about the breath of God. So we got the bones, but I want to talk about the breath. Now this is amazing to me. I don't know if it's amazing to me, but it sounds silly, doesn't it? You know what he was saying? Go, Sarah, this tuck your secret to the valley. Ain't nothing but about a bunch of pile of bones. You know what he's saying? Preach to them. Preach to dry bones?
Yep.
Preach to them.
Yep.
Preach to them. Prophet.
prophesied to them bones.
Amen. I ain't never heard anything like that in my life. Bunch of dry bones. You know what we need? We need a hellfire and shingle rattling preacher. Just get in congregations all over America and preach to the dry bones in the churches and the dry bones in the community and preach.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Right. Amen.
I remember when I was a young preacher, I was 21, 22. I hated this. I hated it. And they done it to me till I was 35. And they may still be doing it, you, Chad, but I hated it. And they called me a young preacher boy. That was my nickname. Like I didn't have any credibility. It kind of hurt my feelings because I thought, oh, they ain't respecting me. Now, I want you all to know, if y'all want to call me a young preacher boy now, please do that. But I want you to know what this young preacher boy did. Can I just tell you this about preaching? When I first got called to preach, I knew it before anybody else knew it. And what I done was, I lived out Cain Evil Lane, out Sissonville. So we had a place we hunted that had some young little pines there, little seedlings that was planted. You know what I done? I got up there and preached to the pines. You say you preach to trees? God's my witness, I preach to trees. And I still preach to trees in the congregation, amen. And you know, I preach in street preaching. I preach in jails. I preach in prison. You know why? Because I thought everybody needed to hear the preaching. See, the Word of God's quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. If you study the revivals of the past, Sabrone Rollins' revival, it was built on preaching. Whitfield, when he had revival, built on preaching. The Wesley brothers, Spurgeon, Moody, always built on preaching. Amen. Here's what's said today. We really need to dilute our preaching. Change our subject matter. I still believe in preaching on repentance and sin. And boy, this is the big one today. And I'm trying not to. I've been real careful tonight. Just don't be controversial. My wife every once in a while tells me to do that. She said, would you please go to church sometime and just not be controversial? And you know, really, I try. But somewhere along the message, I forget every time. But I want to tell you what happened when he started preaching to them bones. They started being a shaking. They was a shake. You know what's going to happen? You know why I preach a little hard tonight, a little strong? Because you shook me up with your preaching, so I'm going to shake it up myself. Amen. Ain't nothing to shake things up like the Word of God. Amen. And I tell you what happened. Skin got on them. Whew. And the toe bone got connected to the foot bone. And the foot bone got connected to the ankle bone. And here's what happened, Chad. They became a well-organized corpse. Still no life in them. By the way, don't you think there's a whole lot like what's going on in our world today? Got a lot of people. Got a lot of churches are well-organized corpses. Good preaching, Reverend. Then verse 9, look at it. Come on, stay with me. I'm closing. Verse 9 said, preach to the wind. Now, Chad, I'm not doing harm here by giving you different interpretations. And one interpretation is that wind was breath. or translated also in a spirit. By the way, you can have all the preaching in the world, but if there ain't no Holy Ghost on it. Hey, isn't this a wonderful verse? Genesis 2:7, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the earth. Or he organized him. But then he breathed into his nostrils. And the breath of life. And he became a living soul. Look at verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet. Exceedingly great army. Now let me close the blessing in the boneyard. Verses 11 through 14. Did I tell y'all the primary interpretation, Chad, is Israel, right? Look at verse 12, church, real quickly. This ought to make somebody shout in this room. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So he said, I'm going to do a resurrection to you. But then he said, I'm going to do a restoration. You know what Isaiah 66, Rich says in verse 8? It says, it predicted that a nation shall arise and live in a day. Can I tell you this? Look at, listen to me. May 14th, 1948. God placed that nation back into their land. And Jerusalem is their capital today. That's Mount Zion you was talking about there a little bit ago that got me happy. What a miracle. They were scattered. But I can point you back to a day that God breathed on them. And brought him back in the land. I want y'all to know something. Can I get this much political right now? I'm going to do whether I can or not. Now, I want you to know something. You need to write your congressman, write your senators, and write the president. And tell him to leave Israel alone. Now, they tell me he's getting ready to go to the UN. And stop their invasion. That's the worst possible thing they could do. It's not Bible. Because what is happening has got to happen. For them to destroy those nations next to them. And they need to destroy Hamas. It's a terror organization. I read today. I don't know if y'all read. I read today about the October 7th massacre. Those terrorists raped dead people. Cut children's head off. Does it nauseate you? I mean, they can't even hardly tell all the story right yet. It's coming out in pieces right now about how they raped those women before they killed them. There's 100 and some of them somewhere in Gaza now. Hopefully they're alive. But I want you to know something. God is going to bring that nation back. But see, here's the message. If God can revive them dead bones of Israel, you think he can revive our homes, revive our church, revive our preachers, revive everybody. I believe he still can. Amen. But here's what I think. We need to prophesy to them bones. You know, I'll tell you, I preach every Sunday. And there's some people never come. But I'm going to keep preaching. Because see, faith come upon here. If you're here today and an old dried up sinner, can I tell you something? God's got the breath he can breathe in you. And you can have resurrection life in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Just takes faith in him.
Right.
Amen. Question, preacher. That's good preaching.
Can you go ahead to the piano? I'm going to try to close on time. Am I doing all right tonight? Church, I may believe we need revival in our America, in our land. We need our worship revived. I want you to know, every once in a while, Brother Rich, I know I need revival. I want to tell all y'all, when I lose my edge, I know when I lose it. You say, well, we don't. Well, you may not, but I do. And you say, sometimes you lose your edge, yes, sir. And you do too as a family member. But how about getting your edge back? How about tonight saying, I want my old dry life revived. Stand with me. Our Father, as we sing just a verse, God, maybe somebody just want to pray. People are coming and praying. Help now in Jesus' name. Amen.